Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined once again with Letitia Thomas. Hey, Tish, how are we doing?
We're doing bald. I thought you were going to throw in a reference there.
Look,
and you went for my name.
I was going to say a certain singer's name, but uh-huh. I thought I wouldn't attack you too much too often. I've got many a week
to do this
before it grows back, but I think we should talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the severe lack of hair at the moment. So please tell everyone why you don't have any hair at the moment.
So I sort of decided to join a bunch of workmates doing the World's Greatest Shave. So we've been raising some money. By the time this goes out, I think that'll be over anyway. But yeah, we all shaved our heads yesterday.
Yeah, you did very well. You raised a lot of money for the cause. And yeah, you did that the other day. You shaved your head. And
yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And it's full fuzz. And as I said to you when I picked you up, I was like, look, certain people suit shaved heads or like very buzzed cut hair and some don't. But you are in the former of that. It does suit you quite well.
It is lucky because I'm stuck with this for a minute.
It's going to be at least a month or two before it's grown back.
Oh, yeah, just a month or two.
Yeah. Hair grows pretty quick. Well, mine does anyway. I don't know about other people's. Some people say it doesn't at all.
I'm stuck with this forever. The wind changed.
Oh, my God. Imagine you're like, oh, well, I've hit that middle age and it's not growing back. Good Lord.
I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. No, so, it looks pretty good. The fuzz look. Anything else has been happening in your week besides streamlining through the wind?
I caught up with family earlier this week.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe it's this week because it feels like it was like weeks ago.
Yeah, we've had a week.
Yeah, my great aunt and uncle were over from England and before they headed back, I caught up with them. That's about it. I think it's been about 2 weeks since we were last on air recording. So
yeah, we had a little bit of a gap because this week you had a lot of work commitments at the start of the week and...
That's right. We were sort of slack the week before
before, so we just thought... Yeah, it's a bit... Like this year's going to be a bit out of order, but we've got the time to do it, so it's fantastic.
Nice, yeah.
I had a bit of a interesting couple of days, the past couple of days. I don't know, anyone that's kind of follows this podcast would know that I've started doing kind of video reviews and putting them on our socials.
Yeah, that was cool. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I just finally committed to it. I know I've been saying it for a little while and like this week I did the first one out of the way and it was the Ghostbusters one and I kind of did it on my own accord. Essentially, I was like, yeah, look, I'll organize the filming, the script and all that. So I set that up yesterday and I had all the script ready and it was fantastic. It was going all smoothly and everything was going well. I set up so, you know, I was in focus. Well, I was as best as I could set up in focus by myself and everything was in the right place. And I was like, oh, I need to have the mics, right? Like I need to have it sounding like it does right now, like, you know, quality sound. And Ben, my housemate, who does a lot of videography stuff through his work, has a couple of spare like wireless Go mics, Rode Go mics. And I was like, cool, fantastic. So I set that up. I had a little lapel mic on myself. It was all plugged into the camera and I recorded. I recorded the whole thing, you know, a bunch of outtakes and stuff. But I got what I needed to record and I was like, fantastic. And when I went to go edit it in iMovie, because I don't have Premiere, Ben does, but I don't. I was like, why does it sound so tinny and record it as if it's off the camera? And I told Ben this. And he's like, well, where did you have it plugged into? Because there's one that's for headphone and the one where it's supposed to go into. And I was like, well, I obviously put it in the headphone one, didn't I? So it was all plugged in, ready to go, but it didn't record with the quality sound that I wanted. So
look, that is filmmaking 101. I remember like I've had so many mistakes doing stuff. I remember in school once, a friend of mine was essentially operating the camera, although back then it was just like, you know, she was just pointing the camera because we didn't really know what we were doing.
Yeah.
This was like, we were in the 2000s, so it wasn't like everyone was making video content then. And it turns out the bits that we were shooting was the bits that when we hit cut and turned it off, we were recording and all the actual scenes, like we had no footage of.
There's just so many things that can go wrong during like content creating that you just don't even think of. As well, like there's a myriad of issues that can arise and most of them come up as you're actually going. So I was very surprised with myself in a good way that I managed to get what I got done in basically a 24-hour period. I will say Ben helped me with a little bit of the editing towards the end because he's obviously got a lot of experience at doing that with his work. So I was very appreciative and we got that up and we're going to be doing that hopefully weekly, depending if I see a movie every week. But if I see a new movie, I'm going to make sure I get a video done of it. So next week, which by the time you hear this, it would have been out, is Godzilla v. Kong, The New Empire is going to be the next review, which I'm very excited to get up.
Yeah, because before you'd done that, we just went, well, about a week or two ago now, we went to see Love Lies Bleeding.
Yes.
I loved that film.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I keep thinking about it.
Yes, just I do too, actually.
Because it's so stylistic and so...
It's very gritty.
Well done. Yeah, yeah, like it's really like...
it's very raw like and pulpy real and in terms of like the feeling and like the atmosphericness to it.
Yeah.
It's a great film. It's not for everyone though. I wouldn't say this would be like one of your general admission popcorn flicks that you would go and see half-heartedly to the cinemas and go to. But if you're a fan of cinema in any shape or form... I would definitely recommend checking this out.
Yes, this one, I don't know if we've mentioned it before, but it's a Rose Glass film. She directed and wrote it or co-wrote it. And it's starring Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Jenna Malone,
Dave Franco, Ed Harris.
Yeah. And it's just sort of this like, it's kind of romance, kind of gritty. Yeah.
It's a gritty love story really at the base of everything that happens.
Yeah. But it's just so stylistic.
Yeah, it's very unique in the way that it's presented to the audience. There's a lot of, like, not all the time, but there's a lot of absurdist scenes as well chucked in there. And you're like, well, that's kind of strange what I'm seeing on screen right now.
Yeah, that's what I think I loved the most about this film is not the stuff that I expected to see, but the stuff that I didn't. And there's a scene that's in the trailer too, you know, where they're running through the clouds.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of forgotten that was in the trailer. Yeah. Didn't expect it in the film, but it does pop up. And at the time I was like, huh, oh, that's an interesting choice. But I think I keep thinking about those choices because it was cool that someone made those choices, was allowed to make those choices and made the film that they wanted to make as opposed to something that's been watered down by studios over and over and over again before it gets
Well, it's an out. A24 film. So they're the studio known for like green lighting projects and not getting in the way of the creation of the art, which is phenomenal. And that's why they're getting such a big name because they're just allowing these visionaries and creators to do their work how they want it.
Yeah. Speaking it's really good. Of A24, I don't even know if I've mentioned this to you yet. So the thing that I was applying for to do, there's like a series of masterclasses and then there's development. And I don't know if I'm through the development phase yet because that comes a lot later. But what I wasn't 100% sure on and didn't realize was that these masterclasses, you kind of get in automatically. So next week, I've got one with Danny Philippou from Talk To Me.
Really?
Yeah, it's over Zoom.
Oh my God.
It's a bit annoying because it's on a day that I'm at work. So I have to watch it later.
No, bugger that.
No, well, there's four of them. So I'm going to try and organize getting the other three off so that I can be there. But it's annoying because you only get week notice because I sent an email being like, hey, any chance you can give me more notice and I can
get it's probably more of when he around. Can be free.
Yeah, well, it's with everyone else. So
yeah, there's other exactly. People. Yeah.
So yeah, next week I'll be doing it a bit later. Probably can't share a whole lot that I hear in this podcast, but I'll share little bits that I can of like how I've maybe found it or whatnot.
Oh, I'm thoroughly keen to hear.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be really cool. Yeah. So yeah, he's the first one. So that's next week.
That's fantastic. That's really
cool. Yeah, I don't know if I'd spoken to
you about it. No, I didn't even know that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Really good insider info you'll get there.
Should be good.
Speaking of, you mentioned before about the trailer with Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah. There was a little bit that I actually didn't get a chance to chuck in my review of Ghostbusters. But a big thing I noticed out of the trailer versus the movie is there's a lot of scenes in the trailer that actually don't make an appearance in the film.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to bring that up because I remember a bunch of Marvel films doing that quite a few years ago now and how you might feel about that. Like, do you feel like it's misleading to a point of getting people in seats to a degree?
I think yes and no. I have a sort of a bone to pick, I suppose, with trailers nowadays anyway, with the fact that they kind of give you the whole film.
Well, that's another point I was about to make with Ghostbusters.
So I think sometimes that's if it makes sense to put a scene or a shot that was cut from the film eventually for time or whatnot, yeah. But it makes sense in a trailer to give you like a feel of the film, I don't think that's too misleading. But if it's a trailer that sort of shows you 90% of the film anyway and they've chucked extra bits in, I think, yeah, maybe that is misleading. I don't know. I kind of miss shorter teasers where you just get a feel of the film.
Yeah.
You know the gist and then you make your decision to
go and see it based on that. I agree with you entirely. I think I like teasers a lot more because the teaser of Ghostbusters is what got me amped.
Mm-hmm.
It was that one where that beach scene where they're all kind of playing on the playground and they're on the beach and then the storm front comes in, essentially the Ice Age. And then you kind of get the logo being like, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. You're like, oh, fantastic. You don't really get the story, but you know, awesome. Something's here. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And then with the second one, when the actual full trailer came out, you basically got not so much the full story, but now I've seen the movie, I'm like, okay, well, that's basically the entire final act right there, cut together in the trailer.
Stop doing that. I think stop putting big moments in. Yeah. You can put like a quick snippet
yeah.
that gives people like, oh, what, something, you know, but or like reaction shots. I don't mind them in trailers where, you know, some big bad's happening, but you see these people, oh no, the world's ending. And you go, oh no, their world's ending.
Mm.
I think those shots are fine, but I don't like getting, like you said, the whole third act.
Well, that's what it was because, yeah, without giving too much spoiler time, skip 15 seconds.
Mostly
the Frozen part takes place in the final act.
Oh, well, that's dumb.
It's all, as I said in my review, all exposition dump, normal kind of family matter issues in mm-hmm. the first two thirds of the film. And that Frozen threat doesn't really come into it till the last like 25 minutes. So, and that's what the whole trailer looked like.
Oh, absolutely.
Though.
Yeah.
So in my own case, it's a little bit misleading, but I feel like I just wanted to bring it up because you told me about the trailer that was in there. And I was like, oh yeah, that's something I didn't mm-hmm. bring up in my review, but I definitely wanted to talk about it at some point.
And the other teaser we watched this week was Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice 2. Sorry, I keep referencing that the poster. Original,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I think I like that in this teaser, they've shown that it's still a lot of models.
Yes.
Brought back. Cause I think that was just a core feel of that film, the original Beetlejuice. Yeah. I'm not mad about the cast being back. I think that's.
No, I think the cast was fantastic. Cool. I think if you didn't have the cast, it wouldn't land as well.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Maybe to see one more trailer just to get a little bit of a feel. And then I think I want to go see it.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I think this movie needs to do what the first one did and rely heavily on the practical effects. Mm-hmm. I think if it goes down the route of the CGI,
it'll lose its magic.
Exactly right. I think it doesn't need to as well. They're not doing this grandiose thing with the practical effects in the first one. So it's definitely possible to just do the same again. It's not going to cost too much. That's what I remember Beetlejuice for. And obviously Michael Keaton. And thank God he's back and he's doing the same role because I think he'll do it justice again.
Yeah, him and Winona Ryder in it, I think, are going to be pretty fun. And Catherine O'Hara is back.
I think Jenna Ortega will play a good mm-hmm. daughter role too.
I think so.
I think she gets the assignment.
Yeah.
So if you've seen Wednesday, you'll be like, okay, it should be somewhat in the same vein. Maybe not the same character, but yeah, it's the same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited for that. I will just mention this at the top before we get into the main topic. Me and Ben watched the new Roadhouse movie last night off the back of me watching the original movie two nights before. If you've seen the Patrick Swayze one, you'll know it's a roadhouse. He gets sent out there as a bouncer. He basically has to clean up the rubbish that comes into the diner.
Yeah, the riffraff.
The riffraff. Clean it up, set like a standard for all the other bouncers and the workers there. And there's a whole love story thing happening there. It's a very loose story, basically just for Patrick Swayze to be on screen kicking people for 2 hours. It's a bit of fun. It's very 80s. Characters are objectified quite often. And it's an 80s film. It's a bit of fun. This one is definitely a new take on that original premise. I would say it's a loose kind of take. Like it's still that Western style, like lone wolf comes into town to save the day kind of story. So Jake Gyllenhaal plays a version of Dalton from the original film. He's an ex-MMA fighter. He's just trying to, you know, go from fight to fight in wherever to make ends meet. Someone sees him, goes, cool, we need you to like look after this diner. He ends up taking the job, same as the original story, but it's kind of less about the roadhouse in this new one and more about kind of the dynamics that he kind of makes, like the villain and the love story kind of take place outside of the roadhouse itself. It's just a little less than the original was. It's really good. It's shot really well. The cinematography makes you feel every kind of punch and kick that happens on screen. Like the violence is really, I wouldn't say it's not gory, but like you feel it. Like it's like very, very there in your face. And it feels cool. It's really cool to watch. The biggest standout for this movie though, very surprisingly, was Conor McGregor.
Oh.
Awesome portrayal. So he's obviously an ex, I don't know if he's retired or not. I'm not fully into the MMA world, but he's a MMA fighter.
Yep.
And he's a pretty big personality in that world, right? Like even if you don't know the sport, he's the name you know from it. And this is his film debut, like his first acting debut. He steals every scene he's in. He plays this absolutely off the top, crazy, basically rival to Jake Gyllenhaal's character, like the evil people essentially hire him to kill Dalton. And he just, he's having a ball on screen. Like honestly, it was very entertaining to watch. And I don't think he was honestly that terrible of an actor. Like he pulled it off exactly what the character was meant to do. And it was entertaining for like the second half of the film when he rocked up. And from then onwards, I was like, I'm in this. And the fights were awesome between him and Jake Gyllenhaal. Really cool. Not perfect. There's a few scenes where CGI is used when a car's trying to like run someone over or like falls, like the car falls off a bridge. A few little bits and pieces like that kind of can take you out of it. Like I kind of felt like, this wasn't great, like that particular way it was shot because of the CGI and stuff. But, you know, taking that aside, really fun time, really good time. So it's on streaming. It's on Amazon Prime. It got added as of like 2 days ago. Yeah, I reckon check it out. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal's got that kind of like charm to his character. He's funny, but he can definitely beat a person up in when he wants to. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
The other film that I finally, well, I think I finished it last week, but I haven't spoken to you about. I finished American Fiction.
Oh, so you did,
I watched
yes.
the first half. I had a massive week, so I sort of just...
Half and half.
Had to stop it, and I watched it the next day. I have issues with this film.
I know you
Controversial
do.
Take. It yeah. won an Academy Award for screenwriting, and it's like best adapted screenplay. Was up against some phenomenal films. Like there was Poor Things, there was Anatomy of a Fall, which I have not seen, Barbie, Past Lives, and then I think this was the other one. I got issues with this film.
Yeah, you just don't love it. You felt like it was pandering. You felt like it was...
I just think...
Very, like, I mean, school student.
Yeah, it kind of felt like grad film vibes, especially the ending.
I didn't love the ending.
Infuriated me in a way that, like, I don't have time to get into. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it because it is only, recently.
Same thing. It's on Amazon Prime at the moment as well. I only just got added.
And look, it won an Academy Award, so... My opinion aside, clearly some people love it.
Personally for me, I thought the first half was way stronger than the second, mainly for the dynamic between Jeffrey Wright's character and I forget who plays his sister.
Tracy Ellis Ross. Yeah,
exactly. Same. And I thought, fantastic. I'm on this.
The choice that they made there.
Dynamic was fantastic.
Made me mad.
Yeah. And then it kind of changes from that point onwards about halfway through, one third to a half through the movie and it becomes something else. But I was still on the ride for it, but I was also like you. I didn't love the ending. I don't like when a film does that particular kind of cop-out ending. Yeah, I still enjoyed it, whereas you were on the other fence, side of the fence. You didn't like it.
Yeah, I had a chat to one of the friends, like my friends of the podcast as well, this week, and we had a big rant, but anyway.
But you got to remember, you're coming from a screenwriting background as well, where I'm not. So for you to kind of dissect it a little further than I usually normally would, like you're like, why did this win original screenplay? And it's like, look, I can't answer that. I just enjoyed the wittiness of it. And also I haven't read the original book or anything that it's adapted from or anything like that. So I can't say what kind of how faithful it was, like how impactful that original novel might have been. Like I'm not aware of that. So I just went in going, this is a film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had less scrutiny over it. I think that's about all that we kind of got through in the past couple of weeks. I think it's about time for us to get into the real big topic of this week. And we've been holding this one off for a little while.
Yeah,
so really make enough time to dissect these movies.
Yeah.
And what movies are we going to dissect?
I mean, well, everyone already knows. It's the Twilight Saga.
The Twilight Saga, yeah. Yes.
All you Twihards out there, this one's for you.
Which one? Team Jacob, Team Edward?
Pick a side.
Pick a side. I mean, honestly.
It's not that hard, actually. I mean,
from watching this, no, not at all. I'm like they're yeah, both okay, pretty I was, awful, yeah. but there's definitely a clear one better than
yeah,
the other.
Yeah, and we will reveal that at the end, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. If you want to find out, listen now. All right, we'll start with Twilight from 2008, starring Christian Stewart, Robert Pattinson, Billy Burke, Sarah Clarke, Taylor Lautner, Anna Kendrick is in this as well. So this is before she kind of hit the big stardom. She yeah. was in this and then it kind of crept up from there. So written by Melissa Rosenberg and Stephanie Meyer. Obviously, the original book is from Stephanie Meyer yeah. from 2005. And this one is directed by Catherine Hardwicke, which, take note, only female of the series.
A legend in this series. Yes. Of all the Twilight films, this one is by far the most enjoyable.
Oh, 100%.
It's so campy and that's why it works.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many reasons why I think this one is a standout comparative to the others. The blue hue. Let's just start off with.
Let's talk about that.
Because, let's talk about the blue hue.
That made that film.
100%. Everyone knows, oh, wow, it's so blue.
Yeah.
It's like watching Avatar.
Catherine Hardwick had done that as well in 13.
I haven't there seen was quite 13, a bit of a but blue is it like a hue. Blue Huey film?
Yeah. Not like this, though. This one
amped up.
Up to the nines. And, God, it's beautiful.
It is. It's such a time and place movie. And which makes it iconic too. So it's really captured for me. It really captures that vibe of the late aughts, 2000s. Uh-huh. Like it's very 2008 because I was leaving high school. I left high school in 2007. So this is just 1 year out. So I was feeling that like high school ending vibe from the movie.
I was still in primary school in 2007.
This is my 18-year-old movie self-watching this.
It is nuts to feel like.
I was their age, essentially, when this came out. Yeah, right. So, you know, kind of had the same kind of
I was not, so this was aspirational. I'm kidding, it wasn't for me. But for a lot, it was aspirational.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So I first saw this one a couple of years after it had come out. So New Moon had already been out. And when these were first out, I think I must have been in grade 6. So I hadn't seen them because it's that awkward phase where your parents are like, is it appropriate? Is it not appropriate? Some of the kids were reading them and we were like, ooh, racy. That's like, that's a bit much, isn't it? Aren't they like romancy things? And
yeah.
And we're young and, you know, it just felt like some of the teachers were like, is this appropriate or not?
And but, we're going to get into what this series led to as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I hadn't read them and I was like, ew, who cares? Also, I know you guys love Robert Pattinson, but he is Cedric Diggory and not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me at that stage when it came out. And then.
Well, I was the same because obviously I remember
yeah.
Goblet of Fire.
Uh-huh.
And he was in that as Cedric Diggory. And I was like, saw him in Twilight. I'm like, hang on a minute. He's British.
This is Cedric. Yeah.
What's going on?
So then I was in grade 8 when I first watched these. It must have been like early grade 8. And my mum brought them home. She must have rented them from a video store or a friend or
yeah.
Because someone had told her they were good, which. God help us. And I was like, ew, mum, no, not Twilight. We're not watching that.
No
and then
Twilight.
Mum's like, yeah, literally, no Twilight. And mum's like, okay, well, I'm putting it on. And I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm watching them.
Mm.
And I watched them and went, oh, they were okay, I guess. Mind you, I was 12 and hadn't seen a lot of movies. So, you know, and because I was like a big nerd, I was like, I must read the books because I need to know how this was adapted from.
Exactly, from which. And they're pretty faithful. Honestly, yeah. They're pretty close. To the books.
So yeah, so I watched the first two and then went and read the books, got a bit over it. But yeah, I'll go into the other ones yeah. as we get to them where I was at. But that yeah. was my introduction to Twilight.
Yeah, same kind of thing. I saw the first one afterwards. Like I didn't go to cinema or anything and see this. I think I was living with a few other people at the time and it's one of those things when we were like, what's on? Just chuck something on and put Twilight on. Sat down and watched it with everyone and yeah, I was like, oh, okay. This is different to a lot of other things yeah. I've seen. And yeah, it's very, like you said, it's very campy. It's very cringy.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that the first one is not as cringy as what comes later.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
I think every single, because one of these movies come out every year, 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, each one. They progressively get worse.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think what saved the first one, apart from just having a really concise story of that yeah. it was like, you know, a typical meet cute romance, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a comedy, but. In that vein was like a killer soundtrack as well.
I was going to bring up the soundtrack.
Made it less cringe because you're like, this is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously Paramore kind of spearheaded uh-huh. the soundtrack of the first one. They had that Decode song, which yeah. came out with a film clip, very much reminiscent of the, you know, the yeah, woods yeah. in Forks.
I watched that so many times.
It did have a really, really good, strong soundtrack yeah. that kind of mirrored the movie.
And then like what's the one that's in the baseball scene?
Supermassive Black Hole.
Yep.
It was a massive song around that time as well. And I was about to bring up the baseball scene.
Oh.
Shall we talk about the baseball scene?
One of the greatest scenes in cinema history.
Correct.
So iconic.
If you're aware of this, we're not going to go too much into like what each scene or how this Twilight plays out.
No, because you've seen it. Obviously,
they're vampires. Bella's a normal human.
Yep.
Played by Kristen Stewart. She meets Edward, who's a vampire. They somewhat fall in love, and then she meets his family, and their family full of vampires. And
they want to eat her for one.
Well, long story short, they're vegetarian vampires, so they don't eat humans. They eat
animals in
to
the forest.
Survive. And anyway. They've gotten used to being around humans. They're starting to accept Bella into the family. And then as a family kind of activity, what they do is go and play baseball. But they can only play baseball during a thunderstorm because these people are so strong.
Super strength.
When they hit the baseball, it sounds like a lightning strike. Yep. So they have to wait till there's a lightning storm before they can play this activity. It's a whole scene.
It's so bad that it's good.
It's really funny because they'll hit the ball and it'll rocket into the air, like going over like mountains and stuff. And then you'll have like Edward Cullen just running.
Yeah, speed running
because like the CGI back then wasn't amazing. Like their running was just like literally like skip them across the screen. And then they'll jump up into the air to try and catch his ball. And,
They hit the ground and, like, the dirt's just, like...
Flying in the air.
And
there's that scene where... Because in the first film, Nikki Reed's character of Rosalie, who's one of the quote-unquote sisters of Edward, doesn't like Bella. Like,
not
there's, like, a I don't like you vibe. And Bella's playing the umpire, essentially, for the baseball game. And Nikki Reed's character runs around the field and obviously is coming back to home base. And it looks like she gets caught out and it's up to Bella's character to make an in or out decision.
Yeah.
And then Kristen Stewart just shakes her head and goes, you're out. And then Nikki Reed's character just death stares.
Yeah.
Like, I want to kill you.
it's great.
So it's then, very camp.
Yeah. Basically, then some other vampires from out of town are like, fresh meat. And then they want to kill her because, like, I mean, look, if you're vampires, it's probably not cool to have a human girlfriend. And then,
there's a lot of politics. Things that don't really work in the real world. No. Yeah, look.
It's a weird one. And I think when I was younger watching it, you know, you'd always be like, oh, but ew, like he's like 100 and something and she's like 17. And then now I'm like, yeah, but that's every vampire. Of course they're falling in love with humans. Of course they are. You know, they're undead. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah. This first one has so many other iconic scenes as well, like the truck stopping scene.
The apple.
It falls down and he kicks it and then holds it exactly like the front cover of the book as well. Very weird, but okay. Also, he sparkles in the sunlight instead of burning into flames like every other story ever.
So I was 12, right? Watching this movie with mum, was kind of getting like sort of into it, whatever. Hadn't read the books, did not know, right, what he was going to turn into. So I'm waiting for this
flame or turn into a dragon or something.
This really grotesque reveal of like, oh, I'm like a monster. And then he sparkled and I was like,
and what's the line he says as well when he's sparkling?
This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
This is the skin of a killer, Bella. And she's like, oh, it's very funny. Like, I feel like the first one doesn't take itself seriously.
No, it knows that it's this
therefore
campy.
Therefore, it's approachable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go, okay, it knows what it is. I know what it is. I'm here for entertainment value and for a good time.
And it was, like, they didn't think anyone would watch it.
No.
It was, like, look, it had a budget, but it was, like, a no budget. It was, like... Yeah. 35 million and then it made 407 million during its run. So it definitely, no one expected it to be anything.
They didn't even know they were going to greenlight the sequels or anything. Yeah. Like they made the film based on that, like a book. 35 million is nothing when it comes to like film production values at all.
No.
To make 407 million, like this went worldwide phenomenon. It made Kristen Stewart and Robin Pattinson and to a degree Taylor Lautner.
Oh, the biggest.
Like the biggest three stars during that era, like 08 to 012. Yeah. That's who you know.
It was like huge. And the media just piled on these essentially poor kids like so much.
And we needed
the misogyny in 2008 or 11. I was like, oh, Kristen Stewart can't act. Well, I'm not like those girls. Like I was like on that hate train of Kristen Stewart for a while there.
Debate with you.
Which is wild.
Before we started, I was like, I don't think she's a bad actress. I've seen her in plenty of other stuff since then. I'm like, I think she's really good.
I mean,
good.
She's now Academy Award nominated.
Spencer.
So.
Like, in Love, Lies, Bleeding and stuff like that. Yeah. We've seen her do really fantastic things. I just think it wasn't her.
No, the story
I
was
think it was
shite, or her character.
The material she was given and her character, even if you read the books, she's a blank slate.
Her and Robert Pattinson as actors portrayed these characters perfectly.
It's exactly what they were written
like,
as.
Yeah. You couldn't find two people that could do a better job, partly because he hated it and his character had self-loathing, so it just worked.
It was fantastic. It was meant for it. Yeah. I don't think he thought it was going to be as big as it was, and I don't think he was planning to be portraying the same character for 5 years.
Or be the biggest heartthrob, really.
No, I don't think he was. And then also we got to mention the fact that those two started dating after the first film. Like,
and then, yeah, well, we may as well just get into New Moon.
We'll get into New Moon now because we have spoken about probably the best one of the series. Unfortunately, it does severely decline after this first one.
I do have a little fun idea for if we get to the end and need more time. New Moon. This one's directed by Chris Weitz.
Weitz.
It made $711 million. At this point, Twihard was like nerds were huge. What was it? Twilight Moms was a thing.
Yeah, it was.
Which is disturbing as it sounds. If anyone wasn't around for that, basically the people that loved this more than the 12-year-old girls was their like 40-year-old mothers.
Yeah.
That were like obsessed with Edward and Jacob.
Team Edward, and Team Jacob.
It was kind of grim. Gross.
So grim.
But yeah.
And that's what spawned. And
this one didn't have the blue hue. It took itself seriously. And basically this one, at the end of the first one, like Bella got injured and nearly got turned into a vampire, which is not good because the only thing Edward didn't want is her to lose her humanity and turn into a monster like him. So he's like, you know what? She's not safe anymore. I'm a threat to her and I love her, so I am going to leave.
Yep.
So the family, the Cullen family, like
pack up and see you later.
They
move out of Forks.
Yeah. And then she's left with no one. She's very depressed. And then Charlie, her dad, who is, Charlie's useless.
He goes through a bit though.
He does. He
is completely useless as a father.
He basically goes, hey, remember your old friend, Jacob, who, and he's like, hey, maybe you should hang out with Jake. You need to not be depressed.
Alone,
this is grim. And then that introduces a very sort of strong love triangle in this one because he is,
He is
hot for Bella.
I would say to the point of someone needs to be called in.
Yeah, not so much in this one. This one, it's sort of
I picked up a lot of gaslighting.
There's a lot of gaslighting.
Huge amount of gaslighting. He forces himself on her
in one
scene.
Yeah. Was that New Moon?
That's New Moon.
Oh my God, I was so mad. This one reminded me of being in just in general in the world and being like, no, thank you, I don't want to date you. And then just the obsession levels like, I will make you love me.
Yeah. It was this one.
He kisses her.
He kisses her, and then she punches
him. That was the next one. That's Eclipse. This one's not quite. He just hangs out with her a lot.
Oh, you're right. See, they blend together.
But there was gaslighting of like, don't worry about Edward.
Yeah,
towards
the
end.
Yeah, there's more gaslighting in Eclipse. Sorry. Yes,
we'll
get to
that
later.
So we're all clearly
this
team Edward.
This is the one where she's still. Yeah, clearly we have kind of given that away. This is the one where she's so depressed she jumps off
the cliff to feel
something.
Yeah, because every time she.
It's so bad.
So hard to say out loud, but didn't take it seriously. Every time she does something reckless, she sees, which I think is more just like sort of her conscious because he wants her safe. She sees Edward. He sort of speaks to her like, no, Bella, don't be an idiot. Be safe. And then
look after yourself.
She's like, this
There's
is
like
how
a
I
ghost
get
version
to see, the ghost of Edward past.
It's so bad.
She like keeps doing all this dumb
shit. She gets on a motorbike and then immediately runs into a rock. As soon as they build the
bike. Like, Jake, let's fix these bikes up.
Yeah. It's like a reason for them to like grow closer is they work on a few things together and they do activities together. And that's when Jacob very evidently falls in love with her during this movie.
And I think this one, he's starting to hang out with a few friends, which eventually become the wolf pack in Eclipse.
He turns in this one. Like he becomes.
Oh, that's right. He gets real buff and.
Remember in the cinema scene? So Bella tries to organize everyone to go to the movies.
That's right.
No one goes except for one dude that somewhat keen on her from high school.
Yeah, what was his name?
Michael.
Mike, that's right.
Yeah.
God, these whole films are just like triggering of like, oh my God, leave this poor chick alone. Like she's got one love, that's fine.
She's as boring as a
broomstick. Yeah, like she's not one you're going to pick anyway, but like far out.
Mike and Jacob are the only ones who end up turning up to the cinema and Mike ends up getting sick, so he has to go to the bathroom. And then also Jacob's like, I love you there. And then even so early. And then Mike comes back from the bathroom being like, I have to go home. And then Jacob just like nearly beats him up for no reason.
That's right.
It was like, so random.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's going on, Jacob? And he's like, I don't know. And then he like runs off. Literally all the time he runs off. The next time you see him, he's cut his hair and he's got no shirt on.
Like, that's right. Has yeah, no shirt yeah, yeah. On. So basically this one, he turns into a wolf. And then at the very end, because there's no point in getting into all of it, the very end sort of, there's a vision that Edward's going to go kill himself because he calls the house and Jacob's like, oh, she's not here. She's like gone or I don't know. He says something about her and she's jumped off a cliff and there's been visions by Alice, who's a seer or some, I don't know. And then, yeah, so basically Edward's going to go kill himself. So they jump a plane and they go to Italy to save him. And Jacob's like, no, don't go for him because I love you. So dumb. Yeah, and basically like Edward survives. The vampiric political party, the Volturi, spare him and are like, oh, we're intrigued by this Bella. We'll let her live even though she's human.
She's got a blocker power.
Yeah, which they haven't discovered yet entirely. But
so no one can read her mind, whereas they can read all other humans.
Well, he can. Minds. Edward can. They can't all. They all have their own little powers. Oh, they all have their powers, own
things, yeah.
Which is so, saying it out loud is really hard to.
Well, it gets even worse in the final one, which we'll get to
later.
Yeah,
so that's sort of New Moon. It's not the greatest.
No, that's where I kind of dipped off watching them.
Yeah, after the first one, it's a letdown.
I was like, one, the blue hue's gone, so it's lost that vibe of like what Twilight is.
Otherworldly type.
Yeah, and then also way too seriously compared to the first one. Mm-hmm. Like the first one knows it's stupid.
Which takes us to
Eclipse.
Which, directed by David Slade. Now, I saw this one in cinema with my mum and her boyfriend. Don't know if my sister was there. I assume she probably got dragged along, much to her dismay. At this point, I was over them. I wasn't really into the films anymore. But mum was into watching movies, so she's like, we're going. And I was like, oh, I'd rather die at this point.
right,
especially because the assumption is like, it was the whole like, this one's the love triangle, Edward or Jacob.
Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
right,
like,
because
like, I don't want to be a part of this and I don't want my mum to think I'm a part of it. Like, there was just so much in this and it's so awkward to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I sat in cinema the first time I saw this and it was hard to do as a kid. Yeah.
I skipped this one entirely during the 2010s.
Not a bad choice.
So I watched Twilight, New Moon, roughly when they came out, completely skipped Eclipse. And then I went to the cinema to see Breaking Dawn Part 1 with an ex-partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never saw Part 2. So
yeah, I didn't see the last two until about maybe a year and a half ago when I went, actually, I never finished watching them. And I just thought, we'll just finish them off, I guess. But yeah, Eclipse.
It's interesting. I feel so different from all the others for a few different reasons. One, they recast Victoria.
Yeah.
They just snuck Bryce Dallas Howard in there. That's who in the third one,
Oh.
Yeah, that's
her. I knew
her.
It was different, but I couldn't pick who it was.
They didn't really show close-ups of her face, but it is her. It is Bryce Dallas Howard in it as Victoria, because I don't know why they recast it. They never really said. Is Victoria the bad villain
that's
from the first two?
This one, there's a newborn army.
Yes, which she's creating because she hates Edward for killing her partner in the original movie. Whatever. It was weird seeing the way the vampires die in this one.
I was like,
are they made of ice?
They're porcelain.
Oh my god.
Like they're like sort of like statuesque, and I was disappointed in this.
But it sounded like it was just ice breaking every time like a head popped off, and I was like, I get it. It's hard to kind of portray all of this on screen.
Yeah, but also do better. This one is the one with all of the
gaslighting.
The wolves. the gaslighting. We'll get to the gaslighting. Basically, all the boys see, this is like where it gets like it's hard to talk about now because we've all understand how awkward this is, but basically the indigenous people's tribe, whatever that they're calling this movie, who it's an actual indigenous people, like they exist. But they were like, what if we just sneak in some bullshit werewolf
angle
into this
tribe
and laws that exist? So like that's messy and not even getting into that, but basically the boys hit puberty and they turn into wolves, not werewolves, but they are werewolves, and
essentially
then
yes.
they like just run around in like a wolf pack and whatnot. They hate vampires. That's why they're there. And something to do with like when they fall in love, some of them, they
imprint,
which is
It's like a weird wolf thing, they say.
They fall in love with, you know,
their soulmates, their soulmate. With that person.
And it doesn't matter how old they are.
It's supposed to be a love thing,
It's not romantic, but it is. But then there's a thing in the book that I don't think they mentioned, which I think maybe was them trying to fix the whole, like, vampires are old and it's creepy thing. It's like they stop aging. Did you remember that? They stop aging until they become sort of the same age as the kid. Like if it's a kid, once that kid grows up to be their age, then they start aging again. So they're like the perfect age.
Yeah, they didn't do that in the movies.
For each other. I think it was their way of trying to, like,
it's okay
damage control.
Because of what happens in the last movie. Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, this is sort of that film. And this one's very much gaslighty on Jacob's behalf.
Oh, he's the worst character in this. He's such a brat.
Bratty.
I mean, I'm just going to say this. I didn't say it earlier, but I don't think Taylor Lautner is a very good actor. And I'm not shitting on him, but I kind of am. Because I just don't think he's got the skill set.
No.
To be an actor. Like, he was there for one reason, one reason only, because he's got his shirt off for most of the films.
Yeah.
He's there to be
once
the
he's a wolf, he doesn't need a shirt.
No, he just takes it off. So he's there to be the heartthrob, you know. Yeah. He's there to look attractive, basically, because whenever he's delivering a line, it's a bit forced and it's not perfect. And yet again, against Kristen Stewart, against Robert Pattinson, it's more noticeable.
Yeah.
It's more noticeable he's not up to their skill set.
Yeah.
And especially when he takes front and center in a little bit of New Moon and a lot in this,
he's big in this one.
Very evident how he's kind of lagging in the skill set of being an actor.
Yep.
And then put on top of the fact that he's supposed to be playing the bratty character in this. Well, actually, I don't think he is. No. I think it's supposed to be a love triangle, but he just comes across as the bratty, shitty alternative.
He just can't handle that he's not getting picked.
He's
not getting picked. Yeah. And it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember that. Yeah. Like you said, and I thought it was the previous film.
Yeah.
He kind of confesses his love to Bella.
Yeah.
When she's on the reserve, because she has to be there to be protected for a certain period of time for the movie. Who knows?
And she's like, yeah, cool. I don't love you though.
Yeah. She basically says, no, I love you in a different way, like a friend.
Yeah.
And she says that openly.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm clearly with Edward.
He's back now. He's
like,
this is good.
He constantly goes, you don't know what you want. Yeah. I'm like, no, dude, that's gaslighting.
She
you
knows
can't.
What she wants.
Yeah,
Edward.
She said what you said. And then he forces himself on her, kisses her. She's like, basically the hell.
Yeah,
like,
punches him. Breaks her hand, which is so awkward to watch in a cinema with your mum when you're 13.
Yeah, she breaks her hand because he's so strong.
So
he's
strong
a wolf.
That it.
And then there's that scene where they come back to
So there's
Charlie's
this great
house.
Thing where, right, then this is how they differentiate between like werewolves and vampires. So vampires run cold. And werewolves run hot. So she spends 90% of the movie being
cold.
I can't even say, I was going to say being warmed up by Jacob, but that is like quite literally what happens.
No, there's
they
one.
They use him as like a space heater. It's
there's one scene in particular that comes towards like the, probably like the last 15, 20 minutes of the film. they're on a tent on a mountain. God knows
in
one
the snow,
why
to be
in the
protected
snow.
From this vampire army because they're coming for Bella because of course they are.
Bella doesn't bring any type of warm.
They're wearing
clothing.
Like casual hoodies.
Yeah, I'm like you are in like sub-zero
it's
temperatures.
It's come down to 20 degrees here. I have no hair on my head, and I'm like freezing. And then this.
So she's in a tent, and she's very aware that her partner is a undead vampire who has absolutely no blood running through him whatsoever, and is just as cold. But he's fine with it. And she's sitting in there freezing. Good old Taylor Lautner rocks up and he comes in the tent and he's like, you're freezing. I can help. And then Edward's like, ugh, don't touch her. And then he's like, he says something like, but you know I'm always going to be hotter or something.
Yeah.
And it's obviously alluding to two things, but I'm like, cringe of that line. And it's so funny. And he immediately goes and just hugs her for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then because Edward can read people's minds, he's like, at least keep your thoughts in check or something. So he's just like holding her with like improper thoughts. And you're like, this movie's just so bad.
It's so cringe.
It's so bad.
But like not in a good way.
No.
Like just
it's so
bad.
Skippable too. So I obviously went from New Moon to Breaking Dawn Part 1. And I was like, no, I've got the gist.
Yeah.
No. I had missed nothing.
These films do not have a lot of plot.
No, they do not.
Yeah, there's not much.
They take secondary to the love.
Oh, that's right. And in this one, they're also getting, they're about to graduate. And that's right. She wants to be turned into a vampire. And he goes, I'll at least graduate first.
Well, she has to. That was part of the Volturi rule of the end of
New that's Moon. Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, like, whatever.
She has to be turned at some point.
And he's like, at least wait till you graduate. So this one at the end, they sort of graduate high school and that's all nice. And then they're going to get married because he's a proper gentleman, remember?
Yeah, he's old school.
He's old school, which they like to remind you all the time.
Yeah. Flashback scenes where he's wearing that old school. Yeah, like, I mean,
that's
hat.
Basically, look, that's the gist of
that's Eclipse.
And then I reckon just Breaking Dawn part one and two we'll just do together because they're, I mean, nothing happens.
Well, here's the thing. And what I'll bring up before we get into a little bit more is you got to remember this is a part one, part two, but this is also off the back of
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter just finished up.
And it just did this.
It just did the part one, part two ending. I think, and I've spoken to someone else about this, I think if Harry Potter never came out, this was made by itself, you would have got this film in one piece.
100%.
There is no reason why it would have been a part one, part two, if it wasn't a movie, like a movie Hollywood trend.
100%. Because this happened for a lot of them. Happened with Hunger Games
as well, which came after this, but it also happened with the final one.
Might have been the only one I can think of.
Running the Maze Runner, I don't think did. I think the Maze Runner didn't, which is smart. I think it did. It would have been same thing. I think the last films suffer because they're so stretched. Not much happens. It feels like nothing happens.
Not much happens. Basically, part one is a beautifully awkward wedding.
Yes. Half the movie's the wedding.
Half the movie's
slash honeymoon.
The wedding slash honeymoon, which is...
Yeah, look. I don't know what else to say.
So awkward.
Different director as well. So part one, part two is done by Bill Condon. Yet again, another completely different director. So at this point, it's a money-making machine. It's the studio's property at this point. It's got no... No one gives a crap about the art creativeness of it.
No, anymore. And I think everyone's wanted to be done with the Twilight saga. Christian Stewart,
Robert Pattinson wanted to be done by this point.
Yeah.
You could just tell that they were done filming.
They was like, please, let's not be scrutinized for another
forever.
5 years of our lives.
Yeah. So everyone's kind of phoning it in. The first part of part one is the big wedding, and then they go off to Brazil.
Yeah, and then an island off Rio.
For the honeymoon, and this is when they first sleep together because they're married now. They're allowed to, and Robert Pattinson breaks the bed because he's just so manly.
Yeah, he's such a vampire, and then won't have sex with her for the rest of it because
he's worried about he bruised her a little bit.
She's like, dude, I've been waiting forever. This is fine.
She's toey as as all hell for it, and he holds it out.
They play chess a lot.
I'm not going to bring it up too much in this podcast, but I'm just going to leave this question here. It's like, think about how things happen in the bedroom. He's a vampire.
Uh-huh.
The man's got no blood.
Yep.
Just going to leave that there.
there's a lot that doesn't make sense.
No.
Also, I remember reading the books and they are like, oh yeah, their chromosomes are different. I'm like, so how do they make a child?
I know.
There's a lot of medical inaccuracies.
Yeah, look, it's a fantasy world.
So basically they're just like, I don't know, that happens. It's real awkward when the cleaners come in, which I thought was unnecessary to put in.
Yeah, the cleaners come in and they're like, fix the bed.
I'm like, they're worried basically about her because in their culture, they have like myths about vampires. So they're like worried that these vampires have brought a young girl, which I mean, like, fair enough.
I mean, they have too.
And then, my gripe, clean up after yourselves. Make it look like you haven't just destroyed an entire villa having like...
Vigorous sex,
yeah. And then like left this poor like old lady to come and clean up after you. Like at least like, sweep up some feathers, maybe sort of straighten a cushion, like something. You've had days where you're not having sex. 100%. You could have cleaned. Instead, you went mountain climbing.
Yeah, they mostly just play chess, like you said.
Yeah.
They mostly just play chess, which I know is just a callback to the cover of Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, but like, but come on.
Also.
Edward's so boring.
He's so boring. They're all so boring.
They're all so boring.
Bella's so boring.
Yeah.
These characters are hard to get behind because they're so boring.
So boring. But yeah, basically they come back.
She gets
like,
pregnant.
She goes, oh my God, is instantly? It possible that I'm pregnant? I'm late by like 2 weeks. I'm like, whatever.
And then... She's already feels the baby.
Or yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could tell by that point in shooting that they just couldn't
give a crap.
Because they're trying so hard to sell it, but it's hard to sell. Like it's such a hard thing.
It gets so much more silly from sell. The first
and then basically the rest of the film's.
Well, they go back home. And her, like, the rest of the film is just her
half dying because the vampire hybrid baby thing that's growing at an accelerated rate is like killing her.
Yeah.
So that happens. Charlie, poor Charlie, sort of decided to be a dad at this point.
He's wondering where she
and
is.
And he's like, where's my daughter? And they're like, yeah, she's just sick in Switzerland.
She's going to Sweden.
Yeah, or whatever the hell.
What? Why
lie? Why just say, oh, they're
we're
back,
looking after her.
But she's like, I don't know, having a great time with her husband. Mm. Ew, let's just not talk about it. Like, that could have been the lie.
Well, yeah, look, there's a lot of different things like, they could have said during
this. I come back from a honeymoon. I don't want to see my parents.
I'm probably not going to go straight and see dad.
I'm not going to be like, oh, also, I'm very sick, dying. We're going to send her somewhere else. I'd just be like, I'm just too busy to see you.
Yeah.
Stop asking questions. Because you wouldn't ask more questions. But they're just, I'm like, you guys have been around for hundreds of years and this is your best lie?
Mm.
Carlisle, do better.
Carlisle, do better. Okay. Let's talk about the other big issue with this film, the baby.
Oh.
Let's talk about the absolute demon spawn that that
Let's
is.
Let's talk about how effed it is that they named it what they named it. I still can't
Renesmee.
Get around it. I can't get around
so
it.
So it's named after the two mother characters, like, which is Renee and
Esme.
And they call it Renesmee.
It's like Brangelina, yeah, but it's so gross. And then the fact like...
It's awful.
When they're not sure if it's a girl or a boy and she's like, if it's a boy...
Was it...
EJ for Edward Jacob?
Edward Jacob. I'm like, and then Edward's fine with it and it's like... She just named your child after Jacob. You and maybe the guy that's obsessed with you. Like,
that's what's weird too. And I'm like, Bella, what's your deal, dude?
What's
I know
your deal?
You're not.
And also,
you're cool
terrible at
right
names.
Now.
Like, give it to someone else.
There are so many names.
Why does it have to be joined names? Like,
it's so
the
weird.
Only option. There's a funny thing with the name in the last one where Jacob calls her Nessie.
Yeah.
And she just goes,
You called my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
So bad. And that's some bad acting. It's but, so bad. Yeah. They didn't care at that point. Yeah, the baby was... And there's an issue here because the reason why they use... Okay, so the baby has CGI face the whole time it's a baby.
Yeah, it's weird.
And they're originally going to use an animatronic baby. And there's behind the scenes on this on YouTube, you can look it up, that they are of the animatronic baby. And that thing is like literally scarier than Chucky. I'm not kidding.
And Nikki Reed's like, I'm so sorry, I can't act with this thing.
This
and then
thing, the eyes are moving on its own.
They go like, to
it's
give it to
really
like-
really bizarre.
To like Bella's getting, yeah, she's like,
I can't,
this
thing's
up.
Fucked. I'm sorry for swearing.
But it is, and that's
it's
how they felt.
So bad. And yeah, so they essentially have them still hold that and then they CGI'd the face on top of it. It's just some of the worst CGI I've ever seen. I know I say that sometimes, but this is
really
literally
bad.
Some of the worst CGI I've
you
ever seen.
You kind of just can't wait until the kid gets old enough that
they use
put
an actual
kid. Yeah.
And that is not until halfway through the last one. Mm-hmm. Because even in the next one, like, okay, she grows at an accelerated rate. So even when it's later on in the next one, when it's a baby and they're holding it, it's still got a CGI'd face as a baby. It's animated. I'm like,
it's weird.
Use a real
it's really
baby.
Weird.
It's
just use a baby.
Yeah, the issue with the baby, and that's a lot of reviews I've read on Letterboxd for that movie, Bring Daughter, is just about the demon baby.
Yeah.
Because not much else happens. You've got the wedding, the pregnancy scare, and they go back home and she's starting to die and then she basically dies.
Yeah.
And then right in the last scene as the credits roll is her opening her eyes as a fresh vampire.
Yeah, and then you sort of have her like wake up, she's a vampire, it's cool, she has some vampire hunting. It's like, whoa, she's
part two.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
part
she's like,
two.
She's like so able to like control her like vampire.
She almost
like
kills that free solo guy.
She doesn't kill him instead. Yeah, whatever. It's so
she
dumb.
Like climbs a mountain because there's this free solo dude like climbing a mountain, literally mountain climbing. And she just like literally like legs it right up next to him. And then she's like, oh, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And Edward's like, yeah, let's go. And she just runs away.
He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't think there'd be people this far from the track or like whatever.
So bizarre.
And then I'm like, you're a vampire, dude. Can't you fight? Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically then she gets back. She's like, I want to see my kid, whatever, whatever. And then Jacob's like hanging around.
Yeah.
And she's like, why is Jacob hanging around? And then Vomit, he's
imprinted
on the baby and is in
that
love with her.
That seems awkward.
Also like,
that seems very
I'm
awkward.
Sorry, Edward, but I'd be like, get the F out of my house. Go. I don't care if he's protecting, get out.
Oh, yeah.
Edward's like suddenly like cool with it.
Edward just, like in the
I would
end
not
of
be cool
part one, Edward just says it like it's a huge exposition dump.
Yeah.
And he just goes, oh no, Jacob's imprinted on Renesmee. And then it's like, it's their one rule.
Yeah.
It is law. They can't kill anyone that's imprinted on someone. Like it's part of their group then. That scene was so bizarre and out of place because they're about to attack the wolves.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what?
The only thing that makes sense in any of these films is when Bella finds out that Jacob, who was obsessed with her to a disturbing amount, is now in love with her baby daughter who she's held once, quote.
yeah.
And she's just like, what the? And like, that is the only, I mean, the acting's bad and the dialogue's bad. That's the only
realistic response to anything in this entire series.
I was like, I'm with you, kid. For once, I'm with you. Yeah. This guy is creepy AF.
Yeah. Now he loves your daughter. Because he's like, it's not a love thing. And he's like, all that love I had for you, it didn't make sense before. It didn't make sense. But now it makes sense. But now it makes perfect sense.
Remember how you wanted to be around me? Yeah, it's because it wasn't you. It was the baby.
It's like, she wasn't pregnant yet. What do you mean? Yeah. Don't get it. So I don't know. This movie and / I guess the book, because I haven't read that one, is just weak. Feels tacked on because they were obviously popular by then. Mm-hmm. I even think the first Twilight film was out by the time Breaking Dawn came out as a book.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like cash money. And then
premise exists and makes sense in the first one. Like, because the chick who wrote it,
she's a Mormon.
And so you can definitely feel this
hence the marriage thing.
Yeah, and this longing for someone that you're not allowed to love.
Yeah.
Which is so campy, but like that as a concept, forbidden love, Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lover, whatever, that makes sense. It's a solid idea. Mm. It's been done 1,000 times, but it's solid.
Yeah.
And then as it goes on, it's like, what do we do with this weird world that I've now created? And like,
yeah. That's what happened.
Everyone's like mega super obsessed.
Because the first one feels like a story, right?
Yeah.
And then she's obviously had to continue writing. And that's where the issue lies.
Oh, no.
What do I do here?
Yeah.
And it's a mess. In my opinion, it's a mess after the first one.
And then...
let's talk about the cop-out.
Yeah. The ending.
The ending of Breaking Dawn Part 2.
So basically Part 2, the whole conflict in this, apart from the fact that is that they have like a half vampire, half human child, which is illegal. They're called like immortal children.
Immortal children, because they can't control them. They just kill everything.
Yeah, they're just like these like weird hybrids, whatever. And basically,
she's not one. She's a human.
Yeah,
immortal. It's weird.
It's weird. Whatever. It's slightly different. She's like special. Because she's their kid, and like basically, so the Volturi, the governing vampire body.
Played by Dakota Fanning and Michael Sheen and a couple other characters, but they're the ones that you know. Yeah.
Basically, they're like, this child must die. So then the Cullen family recruit anyone and everyone that they know.
Yeah, the
Come and be out on our side.
And a couple of them are Rami Malek's one of them.
Yeah, some of the werewolves as well.
And Lee Pace as well. They got a bunch of like somewhat popular faces around that time as well.
They all sort of come from around the world, which is like a really disturbing adaptation of culture from around the world. But anyway, that's the
Irish ones.
Oh, man. Yeah, they all come together and they sort of have this
training montage,
but then it's like, okay, it's the final fight. The kids are going to go off with Jacob, and if it gets bad, that's fine. The Cullens are there. They're going to do their thing. Alice is back. She disappeared for a while. Whatever. Who cares?
It's like this point.
Be better if you were in it, but you're not. So I guess we're just going to move on.
She's one of the best characters though.
Arguably. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever. They get everyone together. They're going to have this mass.
Yeah, because the Volturi are like, you can't have that child. We're protecting. It's not what you think it is. Mm-hmm. You're going to fight us anyway. So Alice rocks up and...
mega gory, well, it's not gory because there's no blood, but like whatever, gory battle.
Yeah.
It goes for ages.
It's not a bad fight scene. In my opinion.
Yeah, because you finally get to see all your favorites like really going at it, like ripping people.
And a couple of like
fan favorites
die.
Yeah.
So the first thing is I think, Michael Sheen's character, Aro, ends up killing Carlisle Cullen, which is like the patriarch of the family. And that's what starts the fight.
All hell breaks loose.
Because it's like...
Daddy-O's gone.
Daddy-O's gone. So this big fight happens. A few mega characters die. I think Jasper dies as well.
Yeah, Alice takes her head off.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, she's violent.
Yeah, well, yeah, she saw Jasper die. So anyway, and then in the end, after all the battle goes for a while, and the last part of the battle is when Bella and Edward kill Aro, which is Michael Sheen's character, and they see them light his body on fire as he's dying.
Because you have to kill vampires. It's like a couple steps.
So then it zooms out, and then it's 20 minutes earlier when Alice had shown him the vision of like what could happen if you go down that route. And he's obviously doesn't want to die. So
let the weird child live.
We won't battle today. And you're like, oh, so the last 25 minutes of my life was completely wasted because that actually doesn't happen. Yes, it's a cop-out. And I cannot stand when movies do cop-out scenes.
It's like, it's all a dream.
It was basically, it's all a dream. Well, yeah, it's all a vision in
Alice's vision,
which is funny because you have visions from Alice all the time, but it's always been presented in a different way that it's a vision. You understand that, but this plays out if it's a literal scene, and then it's not. Like, I hate this so much. I hate it.
I think when you read the books, and I can't remember because like I haven't read them since 2010 or something. I think you are also under the impression that it's happening.
It's a real thing,
and then you're like,
That's such a cop-out way to, one, write a book and, two, film. I know it's adapting the book. Yeah, but,
like,
Jesus,
you had
Christ.
To or people would be mad, but, like, it's not great.
It's not great. But at least Harry Potter did kill people.
Yeah, no, actually. Like it actually did. Sobbing. Like, but yeah. I think.
There's more characters in Harry Potter as well.
The thing is with this Twilight saga is we were talking about doing this and, oh, I was so excited. Shannon was so excited. We were so excited. And we sat down, we watched the first one together and it was fun and it was great. And
I think that's all I was remembering though.
That's exactly it. We watched the second one. We went, oh, it's not quite. And then we had to go home and watch the other three on our own.
Yeah.
And
that's where it kind of makes sense why we didn't do this earlier.
That's right. So if you've not seen Twilight and you've listened to this episode, good on you. If you do think maybe I'll watch it, watch the first one for funsies.
I would just say watch the first one.
Just watch the first one.
Because it's kind of self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's a complete story. You don't need to watch 2, 3, 4 to find out the progression of the story. It's pretty self-fulfilling. So I agree. Just watch the first one. It's the only one that's kind of moderately okay.
Yeah, it's a fun watch in a nostalgia way because you're like, oh my God, that's right. This choice, that choice.
Yeah.
Soundtrack's banging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The extra characters and stuff. The high school setting, which goes away very quickly after the first one.
What really also sort of gets disappointing in, you know, I guess it's story. I guess it's also the way that they adapted them further was like the first one works in such a like fun way because the vampires are mysterious and you don't know them yet and you're like getting drawn into this world of
you through her eyes
and then I think they sort of play it straight in the next four and that magic of like part of this world is gone.
I know we say the blue hue, oh, it's like it looks cool, but it also it's like a veil of mystery, and when that's taken away in two onwards it's kind of like loses that kind of ambience to it. I don't know. It's something
they're like
about
suddenly
it.
In the real world.
Yeah,
but you're
it feels
no,
like
but
it.
I was drawn into their world rather than it's in my world.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want that. Yeah, and that's a pretty much our take on
Twilight pretty
much. Saga.
We're Team Edward. Are you Team Jacob? Right in. No, I'm kidding.
Please explain why you would ever be Team Jacob.
I need to know. And if it's just because you think he's hot, look again. It's been 10 years or more.
Please rewatch for actual reasons. That's it.
That's pretty much it. We had a lot of fun doing this. It was kind of silly.
It was a good silly week.
It's a good silly week.
Yeah.
So basically, thank you so much for listening. I think by the time you hear this, we'll have sort of got week-to-week releases. Yeah. If you're enjoying this podcast, give it a follow. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at BingeList. Shannon's been putting up some reviews on there now. So we're going to be
keeping that consistent.
Consistent with that. Or if you're old school, you can email us at bingelistandboxofficeits@gmail.com. They now come straight to my computer, to my inbox. So I will be seeing them.
Yeah, I'm still logged in as well.
Thank you so much. Have fun. Happy Twilight Week.
Happy Twilight. Thank you, guys. Bye.